Welcome to First Formation, spiritual exercise for Christian soldiers looking to get up and pray. Join Pew Pew HQ every weekday morning to hear the good news through grunts and with grunts in the unity of the Holy Spirit as one church forever and ever. Fall in.
Isaiah 49, verses 1 to 7. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing in vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, "Who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, where I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says, "It's too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves, because the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." Psalm 71, verses 1 to 14. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress, to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and the cruel. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have yearned from my birth. It was you who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually to you. I have been like a portent to many, but you have made are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me, and those who watch for my life consult together. They say, "Pursue and seize that person whom God has forsaken, for there is no one to deliver." O God, do not be far from me. O God, make haste to help me. Let my accusers be put to shame and consumed, and those who seek to hurt me be covered with scorn and disgrace. But I will hope continually, and will praise you yet more and more. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 31. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart." Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and the Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weaknesses are stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast to the Lord. John chapter 12, verses 20 to 36. Now among those who went to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went to tell Jesus. Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The crowd answered him, We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Jesus said to them, The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of the light. After Jesus had said this, he departed and hid from them. Good morning. This is Tim Tribble, broadcasting from Sacramento, California. Today's readings come to us from Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 to 7, Psalm 71, verses 1 to 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 31, and the Gospel of John chapter 12, verses 20 to 36. Welcome to Holy Tuesday, also known as Great and Holy Tuesday, Great Tuesday, and Fig Tuesday. This is the third day of Holy Week, which starts on Sunday. So you got to remember here, we're working. This is the Jewish festival, the Passover, during this week. So we work things off of Saturday. So Sunday was Palm Sunday. Jesus entered Jerusalem triumphantly. We had Holy Monday, which we discussed yesterday. Today's Holy Tuesday. In the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, which were not part of today's reading, this is the day that they go into Bethany, and he curses the fig tree. But in today's reading from John, we have the story of the Greeks coming to see Jesus. Now, this is kind of important because everybody thinks of Jesus as the Messiah of the Jews. Well, there were Greeks who feared God. They believed that that is who these people were. And it says they went to Philip. Well, part of the reason for that is all the other disciples had very Jewish names. Philip is not a Jewish name, it's a Greek name. So they went to Philip and said they wanted to see Jesus. And of course Jesus went to Andrew, and then both of them went and they told Jesus. And then Jesus said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And this is where he starts talking about what's going to happen to him later in the week. So he says, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls onto the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." This is another way that Jesus is trying to explain things. Agriculture, or agrarian references, would have been very well understood by the people in the Middle East at that time, in the Mediterranean area. What he's talking about, if you take a grain of wheat, you keep that little grain, that's all it'll ever be. You have to plant it, it has to die and become the wheat stalk. So Jesus is saying, you know, I'm this is all I am. In order for me to bear much fruit, as we in the analogy, then I have to die. Then he goes on to say, whoever loves their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Okay, so this is a little different. And what this is referring to is eternal life. So even the Jewish apocalyptic writers always knew that losing your life for eternal life would be a good thing. So this is not talking about hating your time here on earth. That's not the gist of this, although that has been preached many times. This is talking about we're looking forward. We want to lose ourselves for eternal life. And he goes on to say, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am will my servants be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. And this is the walk of Jesus. This is what we are called to as Christians, to be Christ-like. And then Jesus said that his soul is troubled. Now this is the part that means a lot to me. Jesus knows what's going to happen to him. He is the Son of God. He knows what's going to be going on the whole time. That doesn't make it any easier. To suffer what he went through starting Thursday night when Judas betrayed them just after the Last Supper, through the crucifixion on Friday, people do not understand in this day and age how horrible of a death that was. When they say he was flogged, okay, he was flogged. Well, they used strips of leather with glass wrapped in them, and they would beat them, and they would literally tear their skin off. Bone would be exposed, muscle, etc. It was horrible. they were completely mistreated. It was a very, very, not only physically painful and horrible way to die, but they were mistreated and just, you know, they was the whole load of psychologically and physically beating them down. And then he says, but I'm not going to, shall I ask my Father to save me from this hour? No, that's not why I've come to this hour. So Jesus realizes this is what I'm here for. And then it says, Father, glorify your name. And God says, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Whereas everybody there, they hear a thunder, and one says an angel has spoken. This is very common, the thunder, this voice from above. You'll read that a lot in the Old Testament. Every time God spoke to the Israelites, it's referred to as thunder and lightning, not the still small voice that we talk about now. And then Jesus said that that voice had come for them, not for him. It was for them to Try to get them to understand who he is. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. So there's a concept of the Jews always felt this was normally associated with the final day, but in Jesus it had begun. And the ruler of this world, Jewish texts recognize, this is from the ESV study Bible, Jewish texts recognize Satan's dominion over the world, though there's no record of them using that title, but this is talking about this would be driving the devil out. And when I am lifted up from earth, I will draw people to myself. This, of course, is speaking to the resurrection. And that was so people would understand the kind of death he would die. But yet the crowd, we've heard from the law, the Messiah remains forever. So, guess what? Immediately, how can you be the Son of Man when you must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? They still don't get it. They still don't believe. And Jesus is like, the light is with you for only a little longer. Walk with the light so that darkness may not overtake you. But they didn't. So he departed and hid from them because they just weren't going to get it. So as we continue our path through Holy Week, our journey this week, think about the sacrifice that Jesus made and how human he was. Because here is the first reading that we have where he's sitting there going, I don't know about doing this. I'd be asking God to save me from this, my Father. But no, that's why I'm here. Amen.
A prayer for the right use of God's gifts from the Book of Common Prayer. Almighty God, whose loving hand has given us all that we possess, grant us grace that we may honor you with our substance, and, remembering the account which we must one day give, may be faithful stewards of your bounty through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you for falling into First Formation, where Pew Pew HQ shares morning prayers for the humble, hardy folk caught in the crosshairs of God and country. If you like what you've heard, you can participate in one of the three following ways. First, you can support the podcast by clicking the link in the show notes. Or, if you serve military families, subscribe to First Forward, a paid subscription feed providing commentary on Sunday lectionary texts a week in advance. Use it for sermon prep or just because you support the troops. Second, you can become a co-host by recording a lectionary reading for a future episode. Instruction will be provided, and you don't have to be a grunt to collaborate with PewPewHQ in this or any way. Finally, you can also record and send prayer requests of a minute or less. Prayers can be included in an episode, read anonymously if you wish, or kept private for me to pray for off of air. So there you have it. Three ways to participate in First Formation. I hope you'll continue to listen, even if I haven't convinced you to fall in. This has been Brother Logan Isaac, always faithful, always family. Semper Familia.